Kulan Rablat Gemara, we are up to Daf Pei Amid Aleph. We're middle of the sugya here. We have a machlekes of Rav and Shmuel. Rav says when it comes to an Erev Chatzeres, and everyone has to contribute bread, you don't have to, and let's say you're contributing on behalf of everybody, you don't have to be mezakeh for them. You don't have to actually acquire it for them, because as Rashi explains in Tosis, that the whole idea of a kinyan is the intent, the act of the acquisition is purely to reflect your intent, and here we don't need any revelation of your intent, because the only way you can carry is through the Erev, so we know for sure you want it. But Rav holds when it comes to Erev et Chumen is exactly the opposite. Rav holds when it comes to you want to extend your walking, and I'm doing it on your behalf, I have to be mezakeh you, I have to be acquired to you, because when you do Erev Chum, it comes at a cost. You're losing the ability to walk on the other side, so therefore, I have to be mezakeh you. Shmuel says exactly the opposite. When it comes to Erev Chatzeres, Shmuel says you have to be mezakeh, but when it comes to Erev Chum, he says, I don't have to acquire it for your behalf, because as Tosfos explains in one of his reasons, you don't do an Erev Chumen unless you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah, we are 100% certain that you're happy to go ahead with it. Then we ask the question of Rav, how can he argue with the Mishnah? I mean, where did he get it from? The Al Mishnah says that by a chatzah you have to be mezakeh, and Rav says you don't. And by inference also, by Chumen, you don't, and he says you do. So we brought a story, and Rashi's version of the story is just talking about Chumen, about this woman who went to the mikveh on Friday afternoon and got, the bathhouse, he got delayed. And her mother-in-law, went ahead and made an Erev Chumen on her behalf and forgot to be mezakeh. Rav Chiya ruled, you cannot use it. So we see clearly that Erev Chumen, you have to be mezakeh. And Rav follows his uncle, Rav Chiya. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, talking about a chatzer, but the same idea. So we're up to now, Rav Nachman. So what's the ruling? Rav Nachman says, Naktina, the rule is as follows. We're going to be machmen all instances. Echad Erev Chumen, whether it's in the middle of the page in the payment aleph, whether we're talking about an Erev of Tchum, and I'm doing it on your behalf, you told me to make you a Tchum, obviously I can't do without your knowledge, because it comes to your detriment, you're losing out, you're forfeiting your right to walk at the other end, you told me to, I still have, when I put the food on, I'm putting my own food, I have to make sure that I acquire it on your behalf. That means I give it to somebody else, and I tell him or her to lift it, a tefach, from the ground. And I say, when you're doing that, have in mind that other person, you're acquiring it on their behalf. The echad erev chatzeres, whether it's erev chatzeres, whether you're doing the bread of chatzeres, the echad shetuf mivoyis, or whether it's shetuf mivoyis, in all these cases, tzarech lischais, you have to be mezakeh, you have to acquire it on their behalf. You have to acquire it on their behalf. Okay, says the Gemara, boy, I'm not, has a question. Erev Tavshilin. What about an Erev Tavshilin when you're making it on behalf of other people as well? If Yom Tov falls out on Thursday and Friday, or just on a Friday, in order to be able to cook from Friday to Shabbos, you need to prepare some food before Yom Tov. And you make an Erev Tavshilin, and therefore we say whatever you're cooking on Friday, it's just continuing what you started on Thursday. And in many nuschais, when you do Erev Tavshilin, you also have in mind other people in the city. Tzadich lezakas or angel lezakas? Do I have to have someone else there, another party there, lifting it and saying, you know, I'm being zeicher of this on behalf of everybody in the city? Amr Rabbi Yishai says, what's the question? Lo Shmuel, I didn't hear. Had Amr Rabbi Nachman bar Avada. Rabbi Yishai said, but he asked Rabbi Nachman, what's your question? Didn't you hear what Rabbi Nachman bar Avada Amr Shmuel said? Amr Shmuel, eid of tafshilin tzadich lezchus. You need chus. So therefore, what are you asking? Abaye said to his Rebbe Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand what you're asking of Nachman. Pshitut leshmila, there's no question that Rabbi Nachman has not heard this brisa, otherwise he wouldn't have asked the question. He didn't hear the name of Shmuel, otherwise he would never have asked the question. For surely you do have to be mezakeh. The ishmila, because for sure, if Rabbi Nachman would have heard it, might have boiled, he would never have asked the question. Rabbi Yosef said back, what are you talking about? Rav Nachman made a ruling regarding Erev Chumen and Erev Chatzeres, that you have to make a zechiyah, even though he heard that there were people who said you don't, and yet he paskin you do. So we see clearly from here that even though he heard, he ignores it. So that's how I'm asking. Did he hear about Erev Tavshilin and he ignored it, or he never heard? And if he would have heard that his Rebbe Shmuel would have ruled that by Erev Tavshilin you do, maybe he would have ruled that way as well. What do you mean? Eved chum mishmul clearly said you don't have to make a, you don't have to acquire it on behalf of the other person. And yet, I mean, it's alichas lezakas. And he said, Nachum clearly said that you do have to be to mezaka. So Abaye said back to Rabbi Yosef, "Hachi hasha, what are you comparing the two? Bishleimahos, when it comes to the case of Eved Chumin, even though Shmuel said you don't have to be mezakeh, but Rav said you do. So there was an argument. He decided to be stringent and follow Rav. Pliy Rav Shmuel, the Kamash Malon, and if Rav Nachman says kechumin demar v'kechumin demar, we'll follow all the stricter opinions. We'll always be mezakeh. We'll always have in mind to acquire it on behalf of other people. Avol Hachi, when it comes to Eved Tavshilin, there is no argument at all. Nobody's arguing." Isa de Shmuel says, no question, if he heard Shmuel say that you have to be mezaka, and since nobody argues, surely he would have ruled that way. Me, Ika demand the polig, is anybody arguing? So that's why we wanted to know whether he heard it or not. Says the Gemara, Ahu Turzina, there was this goy, and he was, I guess, an officer who was in charge of all the weaponry of that city. And he lived amongst Eden. The Havi Bishivu was the Rab Zayda. He lived in the neighborhood of Rab Zayda. Now we learned before, when it comes to a goy, you can't just put a piece of bread down. When it comes to a goy, you have to rent it from him, his place. Amalei Oigelor Nishu. So they asked him, "Can you please rent us your space in the courtyard?" Oigelor refused. Asul Kamer Rab Zayda. He went and said, "What do we do? We want to make an Eidim around the area, and he's not allowing us." They said to him, "Can we ask his wife? She's a nice woman. Maybe quietly we can ask her if she'll rent us. Is that good enough?" He said to them, "This is what the Shlokish said in the name of a great person. Who is a great person? Abchanina. Who is a great person? Abchanina. And he said, that the wife of a person can make an erev on the property without even the agreement of her husband. So therefore, that's good enough. So we'll go to the wife, and that'll be good enough." But a similar story, Ahu Tarzina, there was another guy, the Havi Bishivus, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia, lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia. Amdalay, they said to him, "Oigelon Rishusik, when you rent us your property, your rights in the courtyard," the Oigelu refused. Asul Kamer Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia, Amdalay said to him, "Maul Megim Edmisa, can we go ahead to his wife? She's a nice woman. Can we go and rent from him?" Without his knowledge, Lahavi Biyadi, he didn't know the answer. Asul Kamer Rabbi Masna, they went for Ramasna, Lahavi also didn't know the answer. Also, lekame, Rav Yehuda went to Rav Yehuda. Amlu hocham b'Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Ishtei shel adam arevei shelo medaita." Yes, you can go without even her his knowledge. She can do it on his behalf. She can do it as well. Yeah. So, even though the husband clearly said no, the chiddush here is not that the husband is not aware. The husband said clearly no. Yet the wife can. Because remember, the whole thing is only a takana to make sure that we don't hang around goyim. So, but on the other hand, once a goy does live there, we don't want to make it too difficult. So therefore, we're going to allow the wife, who has a share of the property, also to give it away. Says the Gemara, or to allow them to rent it from her. Says the Gemara, I may shall ask a question. It says clearly, Noshim She'irvu, women that made an Eidiv v'nishtatfu, or joined in the street, the Mavi, and made an Eidiv Shalei Midas Balein, without the agreement of the husband, because he's also the main owner, he's also an owner there. Ain Eiruvan Eidiv, the Eidiv is not valid, v'ain Shituf and Shituf, it doesn't work. What do you tell me, the wife is good enough? It says clearly it doesn't work. Say, Malay Kash, it's not a problem. Hada Asr, Hada Loy Asr. It depends. If, let's say, that this person can trespass on that street, could have rights to that street. That's the only way for that person to walk out of the street. So therefore, he has rights to walk on that street. If that's the case, then we don't want to make it too difficult on everybody else. So we're going to allow the wife to accept it. But if, let's say, the person has two access ways, let's say this goy is a courtyard between two different streets, and let's say that he goes one way, not the other. He doesn't, so therefore he's not really assuring on you, then we cannot just go to the wife. Since it's not so necessary, we're not going to suspend the rules and you have to get his agreement as well. In fact, it makes even sense. Otherwise, Kashish Shmuel, this distinction we just made, that if he asks on you, we're going to say it's good enough to go to the wife. If he doesn't ask on you, then you need his agreement. Other is the only explanation to explain the contradiction between Shmuel and Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel said, Echad mi b'nei mavi, if one of the members of the street, shirogil lihishtatif im b'nei mavi, that generally does join in the people in the street, v'loi nishtatif, and this time he did want to, and the way Rashi learns is he refused, not because he forgot, he refused, and in fact he intended to make it difficult for them. Is it says there, nechnosin l'terbeisa, they can walk in to enter his house, v'noitlin shitufa imimendo balkorche, and they can take it away from him, regardless of whether he likes it or not, and make force him to join. It seems only ragel, only because he's accustomed, so he's making it difficult for them. She'in, yes, she'in ragel, but let's say he has another street that he uses, and is not usually coming down the street. Loi, you cannot walk in and take away his things. Shmamin, or there's a difference where when he comes and he makes it difficult for everybody else, and the only way for him to walk out, let's say, is through your courtyard or through your mother, through your street. And if he doesn't join in, nobody else can carry either. We're going to force him. We can go to his wife, or we can force him. But when it comes to, what do you call it? If, let's say, he has another street that he walks by, then, what do you call it? And he doesn't, remember, we're not going to force him at all, because it doesn't bother, yeah. Because if he doesn't normally walk down the street, he doesn't ask on you. And therefore, now, Tosfos says, and therefore we don't take anything about Korach, we don't need it anyway. Tosfos, however, says, when we say that we can go from the man and take it against his will, but we still need the agreement of his wife. You still need some agreement. So if we don't have agreement from him, we have agreement from his wife. Doesn't mean we just take it even if nobody agrees at all. Okay. Then the Gemara says further, Lema Misayele, I'll actually prove it to you. I have something to support you, the Shmuel. That we can force him, it says, Koifin Oise, we force every member of a street or every member that joins into a Mavi, Lasses, to contribute towards Lechi, a post, a kite, or a beam, the Mavi. In order to carry him in a Mavi, you need a post or a beam. We're going to force this person to contribute just like everybody else. So the cheder, we're going to follow. So we see from here that if you are part of the deal, you have to contribute. So the same thing here is with a chatzar or with the eruv in the street. Just like we can force you to build the infrastructure of the street, the lechi and the cheder, we can also force you to contribute to the food that everyone has to contribute, whether you like it or not. So to support what Shmuel said, says the Gemara, but only as we said before, if you don't contribute, you're going to ask it on all of us. Said the Gemara, even though Shmuel might be right, but he cannot bring a knife in the case of lechi. Why? Shiny horse, and this is different. The leka mechitzis. There's a difference between infrastructure and eidiv or shittiv, which means contributing the bread. And Rashi says an interesting thing. When it comes to infrastructure, if the fourth side is completely exposed, everyone there is prey to robbers and bandits. But if there's a lechi or kaida, the street is slightly sheltered, then this is a protection. And therefore, we can force you to build and contribute to the infrastructure because it adds to a protection. But when it comes to the aid of, once you have the infrastructure, when it comes to joining the bread, it doesn't add any protection, maybe we cannot force you. Rashi is quite interesting. So Rashi says that even though it's predominantly an imaginary wall, all you're doing is putting a post there or a beam across, it's enough to give to protect you. Now, how does that work? Everyone doesn't understand Rashi. But maybe the pshat is not that it protects, not that it keeps the robbers away, but it gives everybody the confidence in that area that they are private. And therefore, they feel that they're safe. In other words, if they're totally exposed, they cannot carry there in that street. And so on. The people there psychologically feel that they're exposed to all the elements and to all the riffraff that's out there, and they're unsettled. But if they have a lech and a kaida and they feel like it's a cul-de-sac, a private cul-de-sac, then that gives them a feeling of confidence. And maybe that's what Rashi means. Not it keeps the robbers away, but it boosts their confidence.
Like neighborhood watch.
Something along those lines. But all you have is a post and a stick. But the people feel that they're segregated or separated from the main street, so they feel a certain sense of, I guess, a privacy and propriety, proprietary, and therefore they don't. They're proprietary, and therefore they feel safer. It's just more psychological than anything else. That's what seems to be pshat in Rashi. Tosis says the pshat is that infrastructure we can force you, but we cannot force you into aidiv. Infrastructure is just taking wood or whatever it is that we're forcing everybody to give. When it comes to the aidiv, it's not so much the food that you're giving; it's more the intent. That the whole idea of an Erev is that everyone mixes together, or at least we buy one house and we're all sharing a house. Here it's much more to do with intent, and we cannot force you to have an intent that you don't have. So Taisa wants to make a difference between a Maisa and a Machshava. We can force you to do an activity you don't want to. We can force you to contribute money to build a beam, because all it is building infrastructure. It's irrelevant, the intent. But when it comes to the Erev part of it, that's intent, and intent... You can't force someone to feel joining, you know, join everybody else in that camaraderie when they're not interested. That's the difference. Anyway, then the Gemara says, Loshon Achrina Mitzad Shaini. From the side is different, and there's all kinds of ways of understanding. There's a mistake here and they're trying to understand, but the Girsa that most have is Bezdin Shaini. That of theirs talking about a Bezdin coming in and taking away the you know, infrastructure. Here we're talking about just people in the neighborhood, so... Can't bring a proof from one to another, even though Shmuel is correct. Says about further, Itmar Rav Chibar Ashi. Rav Chibar Ashi says, "Oisin lechi asheda." You can make a lechi out of asheda. That's the avodah zara tree. You can still make a lechi, even though you're not going to have any hanoi, not any benefit from an asheda tree. But here you're allowed to. Why? Because we're not having any hanoi from it. It's just a post. Same thing, you can make a koida out of a sheder. Now, what do we know about a sheder is, we have the Gemara and Sukkah, we'll have the Gemara and Sukkah that, you know, you can't have a lulav from a sheder, because the din is a sheder has to be burnt, and anything that requires a certain quantity, a certain shear, a certain measure, you cannot use an a sheder, because we have a rule called the chtusi mechtes shiur, that since it has to be burnt, is as if already it's been burnt, and therefore you don't have the right shear. But when it comes to lechi, we don't have to have much of a shear. And Shmuel Lakish says, even oisin koida. Koida also, you don't have to have such a substantial shear. All you need is a tefach. Says he, what a man do, koida. The one that says koida, which requires a tefach, koshkin lechi, which doesn't even require a tefach. Surely you can use an asherah for that. Man do, a lechi, a koida like ketusim mechtashirah. When a koida, no, because it gets burnt. But even though a lechi, therefore you don't have a shear of a tefach. But a lechi, even though it also needs something, but even less than a tefach, so therefore there's still something left. what do you call it? So Tej already asked, so how come we don't do the same thing by lulav? Why can't you use a lulav and asherah? So he said, because lulav is a mitzvah, and a mitzvah more machmer is pasnished, it's totally inappropriate to you have an asherah for the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, right? The Mishnah. Now you have to remember, we said you have to contribute food. We said when it comes to a chatzah, you contribute bread. When it comes to a mavel, you can contribute wine and oil and so on. Says the Mishnah. What happens nismayet? We haven't yet been told how much you have to give, but we'll soon see. We know that when it comes to tchum, it has to be two meals. We'll soon see what a chatzah is and so on. Nismayet ha'oichel or a mavel. Let's say whatever the amount of quantity that you need. Let's say over time. It has been reduced, moisif, then you can add. And there's two ways of doing it. Either you ask everybody to join in and give a little bit extra, or one person, without making a big hassle, big fuss, can go ahead and put some more, enough for everybody else, and have everybody else in mind. So we say, when it comes to adding, umazaka, if you're doing from your own, you know, either get everyone to add or you're doing your own, you just mezakev, ain't totally, you don't have to tell them. Once they've already given notice or they've already contributed, then we know for sure they're interested in contributing further. So therefore, I don't have to ask their permission. I can just give them and that's enough. I don't have to notify them. However, nitoisfu aleyen, but what happens? What happens if suddenly people moved into the area on Shabbos? Let's, you know, Gary, whatever, is moved in the Yom Shabbos, is Moisi. There's two ways. Moisi, then you can add for your own food for all of them, umezake, and you have to have them mind. But this time, it's Sarich Lahidia, you have to tell them, the new people that came in, you have to tell them that I'm doing this on your behalf. What do you mean? If... if I'm doing, what do you call it? If I'm contributing for you, I don't have to tell anybody. It's a schus for them that they can carry. But if I'm, let's say we have a common warehouse that everyone put food in there, and I'm going to use now some of their food that without, you know, I'm going to use some of their food and say on Shabbos, this is going to be part of the Erev, then you have to notify these new people because they didn't yet contribute. And who says that they might be extremely stingy, not interested in sharing any of the food with anybody else. Remember, the whole idea is that we have food in a common kitchen, we all share together. So then, tzarech lahodia, if you're using their food, you have to notify them. Now, talking about a quantity, kamash yudin, how much do you need? Bizman shehem rubin, if there are a lot of people, is shtei sudas lekulam, you have to have a minimum, you have to have two meals, and therefore enough to contribute to everybody. Bizman shehem mu'atin, if let's say only a few people, kegregers, each one has to give only the size of a dried fig, lechol echa ve'echad, which is either machlekes or shayim, either the third of the size of an egg, or a half the size of an egg. That's six people, you have to give six gregers and so on. If there are 18 people, you give 18 gregers, which is equivalent of two meals. If you have 100 people, as we'll see in the Gemara later, you still only have to give 18 gregers. There's a big argument in halacha, what's better? Is it better to make a new ediv every Friday, or is it better to have one ediv and go on? Those who hold it's better to make an ediv every single Friday is because this way we don't forget the idea of an ediv, number one. Number two is that we won't have the problem that it gets reduced, even though the halacha says that it's all right if it gets reduced, or so you have to add, so you don't have to worry about it because you might forget. However, the others say it's better to do once a year, or they used to do it before Pesach, because as we'll soon see, Rabbi Yisi says that once you put the right amount, even if it gets reduced, you don't have to supplement it. You don't have to add anything, it's good enough. As Mishnah said, yeah.
So in this Mishnah, we're talking about a continual Erev, one that's been there for...
like the city. From week to week. Like a city Erev we have right now. So our city Erev is called Shetufim Avoyis, right? But we're joining all the streets together, and then you have Chatzeris. You have the courtyards, individual courtyards. So if we do whichever Erev we do, either individual courtyard, or we're doing the Erev of the whole city, so do you renew it? So besides all the, you know, the infrastructure to make the Erev, the most important part of the Erev, in fact, the word Erev is the bread or the food that you put in that joins everybody together. So that Erev, you put somewhere, usually you put it in the shul. Somewhere in the shul you put it. In fact, it says you should put it in a play in open display so everybody can see it and they'll visualize the Erev or remember there's an Erev there. I don't know where they put it here. But you put it in a shul. And ideally, because in halacha we follow Rabbi Yisi, you don't do it every Shabbos, you do it probably usually Erev Pesach. So ideally, you put in matzah, because matzah is the only thing that can that has longevity. Challah doesn't have longevity. And you put in, you know, what do you call it? Somewhere, and every Erev Pesach, you renew it. So Amar Beisi, when do you say you have to have these quantities only if you're making an Erev? Avol Bishira, once you made the Erev, and now, let's say, over time, it gets reduced, it shrinks, and so on, koshu, I don't care how much is left, it's still all right. Then we say, if you're making an Erev around the Mavui, all the streets, it's still a good idea to make an Erev Chatzeres. Why is that important? Because a kid shouldn't forget. What happens if you live in a city where there's no Erev, and then the kids will think you're allowed to carry in the courtyard regardless because they think it's a private place, even though there are four houses there. They don't realize there was an Erev. So the din is, if you remember, that if you made wine for the streets, if you made your Erev out of wine, then you have to make a separate Erev for your chatzar. Even though there's an Erev around the city, every chatzar has to make their own. But if you're using challah or matzah, pas, for the city, then you don't have to make for your own chatzar because they will realize that there's an Erev for everyone, and everyone is included, which is what we do today. There's it says in Pasuk, we'll soon read in the next few parashas, Vayova Yaakov Shalom, that Yaakov came complete, and then it says, Vayichah Peneg Peneir. So it says in the Sfarim, can't remember who says this, that Vayochem Yaakov Shalom means there are three mitzvahs from the Torah and the Rabban that we should be doing on Shabbos, but we don't do them, we suspend them because we're worried that you might carry on Shabbos. So Yaakov came and he realized, Vayova means he came into this and started thinking and he realized, Shalom. Shalom are the three mitzvahs. Shin is Shofar, and Lamed is Lulav, and Mem is Megillah. These are three mitzvahs that were taken away from us if they coincide with Shabbos, because you might end up carrying. And he said, if so, he decided that he is going to, the outside of the city, he is going to build an Erev, because he realized how important it is, the malach of carrying, and it's so easy for people to carry, that the Chachamim took away three mitzvahs from us, two of them from the Torah, one the Rabbanan, on Shabbos, took away, because we might carry. So something that everyone is so susceptible to, that he decided to make an Erev around the city. So anyway, the Gemara says, B'mayas kin, what are we talking about? What are we talking about when it says in the Mishnah that if the food is reduced less than the shir, I can do it. I don't have to have anybody's agreement. Says the Gemara, B'mayas kin, what are we talking about? Ilema b'min echa, we're talking about, I'm just going to contribute exactly the same min that was there before. The my idiot and the smite. Then why do you say that it was reduced, which sounds like something was left? Afilu kolonami. We know that even there's nothing left, I can still add whatever I want, because everyone already contributed once, and therefore I know that they're all in agreement. And if it's reduced or it's gone, I can add, contribute. Obviously, I'm taking something else. We, let's say we're talking about shitufim b'vayis. We made, you all contributed wine, and now I'm going to use oil. So therefore, I need to ask them. Then I feel my namelo. Then even if it was a little bit reduced, I shouldn't be able to. I should have to ask everybody. What do you mean? How do I know that? The Tanya. The Tanya, we learned, because you told me in the Mishnah that if it was existing people, I don't have to ask them. So only if new people could join in. But l'chayde, if it's, I'm using something else before we use wine, now I'm taking everybody's oil. Of course, I have to ask them. So what's it, manushach? If we get one contribute wine and I'm going to add more wine, then even if there's nothing left, I don't have to ask them. So why does the Mishnah say only if it was reduced, even if it was gone? And if I'm taking something else, then I do have to ask them. So what's going on here? And how do I know that's a question? The time we learned. What happens? Kol ha'oichel, the food is gone. Completely gone. Mimi nechad. If, let's say, we all contributed wine, but we have a big barrel of wine sitting there, joint, I take some more for the aid. And so they don't have to ask him at all, because they already agreed a while ago. Mibbeis minin, but if, let's say, we have wine and oil, we ran out of wine, and now I'm going to use oil. So ladi, even if a drop was missing, I have to ask them. So what's going on here? Says the Gemara, Yibayi say minechad, I can learn Pshat in the Mishnah, we're talking about the same food, or Yibayi say Mishnah, I mean two kinds of food. Yibayi say, if you want minechad, one kind of food, minus might. You know what it means when it says in the Mishnah that the food was reduced? Nismatet, it was completely gone, it completely disappeared. So that's what the Mishnah means, and therefore, and I still don't have to ask. Or Yibayi say, Emo Mishnah binin, or you want to say 2 minutes, and nevertheless, color shiny. There's a difference if there's nothing left. When does the Braisa say that you have to ask? If it's another min, only if, let's say, the wine was completely gone, nothing left at all. But if there was a little bit left, then I can add without even asking. I can add without even asking, yeah. Says the Gemara, new people joined the neighborhood, Moisif and Mazaka. Now you have two choices. You can either add from everybody, or you can be mezaka, or you take your own, and you have everybody in mind. As a matter of fact, it seems clear for me, Chalukin l'chavir Rabbi Yehuda, that this Mishnah argues Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we don't only read a Mori in Beir Chumin. Rabbi Yehuda says, when is all this said by Beir Chumin, that when do you have to ask permission when it comes to Tchumin, because it's costing you. If I'm making a Tchum for your aid, if I'm one side, you're losing out, you're forfeiting your right on the other side. Of course, I need to consult you. I don't need your request and permission. Even new people, I can take from them on their behalf. I don't even have to ask permission. So our Mishnah says, new people come in, that you have to ask them permission. And here's the clue: you don't have to ask anybody permission. Saying, well, pshit to the chalukim. Of course, they're arguing. What do you have to tell me that? I would have thought that our Mishnah is talking about a chotzer that's between two mevayis, and therefore, when do I need them to agree? Because since they have options, they don't have to come my way. So therefore, maybe they'll go the other way. And so that's why I cannot do without asking their permission, because maybe they want to walk the other way and they don't want to contribute to this chatzah. The only way that they can walk through to wherever they want to go, to the main street, is going through, let's say, this mavi. Then a maloi, then maybe I don't have to ask them, because surely, definitely, they'll want to do it. Kamash Shalom, that Rav Shidi will tell you that what? That even, that still our Mishnah argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need their consent, and our Mishnah holds that you do need their consent. Says the Gemara, Kamash Yehuda, how much? Kamahu Merubin. Then the Mishnah says, and there are a lot of people. It says the Mishnah, that you need two meals. What's considered a lot of people? 18 people. So you have 18. What happened? You have 20 people. Ema mishmoina esev ela, from 18 people onwards. Umay shmoina esev then okay. So what do you mean 18? Amar avitzchuk b'levi yudim fashle min edaba. I learned from my father. Kol she'ilu mechalkil mazon shtei sudas b'neim. If you divide the food, let's say, if you divide the food of two meals between them, ve'ein magas gregris lechol echad ve'echad. And you no longer have sufficient to have a greatest hein merubin. In other words, you have 18 people and onwards, two meals cover exactly 18 dried figs. And if you have more than 18 people, you no longer have enough of a dried fig for each person. And therefore, two meals then takes over. The sagi b'mazon shtei sudas, two meals is enough. The loy, but if, let's say, two meals is more than adequate, then mu'otin ninu. If you have 15 people, you don't need two meals, all you need is 15 gregers. Agavuch kamashlan comes to teach you the shtei sudas havashmarasi gregers. What he's teaching us is that two meals is equivalent of 18 diet freaks. Says the Mishnah, Bakol ma'arvin, what can you make the edev with? Anything. Chutz min amayim, except with water. We'll see later that by a chutzah generally we use pas, and by a mishita of avoyis we use other things. But right now the Mishnah is saying stam. With everything you can use, any kind of food you can use for your ediv or mishtatfin, chutz min amayim, except water, min salt. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua says, kikar hu ediv. Rabbi Shua says, no, you have to have a loaf of bread and it has to be whole. Afilu ma'af asa. Even if you bake a saw of flour, which means you can make the world's largest challah. V'hu prusa, but if it's incomplete, Eim arvimba, you cannot make an ediv. Kikar ki'isa, you make a loaf of bread with the size of a 5 cent coin, which is tiny. Vohu sholim, but it's whole, ma'arvimba, you can use it for an ediv. However, since we learned before that you need a certain quantity the size of a dried fig, so you'll need more than one loaf of bread to make up the size of a dried fig. You might need 3-4 loaves of bread. A loaf of bread, we say, the poskim say that if it's missing, you know, a piece is missing, up to a 48th of the bread, then it's considered as if it's still whole. And if it's missing more than a 48th, it's not considered whole anymore. Says the Gemara, Tanina Chazim, we learned this, we learned it before already. Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin, you can use anything to make an ediv, chutz min amayim, a melech, except water and salt. So why is the mission repeat itself? Amar Rabba says, Rabba, la'afukim ben Rabbi Yeshua. The reason why we quote this again is to bring the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says, use anything. Rabbi Yeshua says, only bread. Amar kikar imi nachil lo'ev. Yeshua says, only bread and nothing else. Kamash v'lam b'kol. Come to tell you that you can use wine, you can use fruits, anything except water and salt. And if we only had that Mishnah there where it says you can use anything, we would have thought that Mishnah is talking about Eidavit Chumin. And Eidavit Chumin doesn't matter. Why is it that you have to only use bread? We'll see the Gemara later, the reason, because of Eva. Because, you know, we'll see later what the reason is. When everyone uses one thing in common, there should be no jealousy and so on and so forth. The whole idea of an Eidav is to make camaraderie and friendship and not to create divisiveness. Okay, you know, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow in Mitzvah Shah. Everyone have a good day.